goes along with this, what I'm talking about, but we could go through the New Testament and see how the Holy Ghost withdraws himself from the prideful and the rebellious and the indifferent and the liar. And, you know, basically he withdraws himself from people who don't really care about him. They care about getting it right. Hear me. They care about getting it right. They don't care about him. That's a water versus a hulu. Because, verse 43, they love the praises of men more than the praises of God. A lot of us will do anything to get it right. And so we'll do the steps, we'll take the beatings, we'll, you know. And then we acquiesce and we say we're sorry and this, that, and that thing, but we don't really change. And the reason we don't is because we're not really following Jesus. And it says in verse 42, nevertheless, among the chief rulers, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him lest they should be put out of the synagogue. And you know how most people look at that and say, well, you know, the Lord knew. And, you know, he understood and they were secret disciples. Verse 43 doesn't really lend credibility to that kind of thinking. They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. You think God was happy with that? Think he was okay with that? I say no. So, rather than give you this, the next scripture that I want to give you is John 15. And I think this is something you should all read. Just read John 15. It's just great. But verse 4 says it all. Abide in me. Be a follower of me. Abide in me. Stay in me. Love me. Get to know me. And I in you, because you'll never bear fruit of yourself. Except you abide in me, no more can you, except you abide in me. You can't, just as the fruit can't abide unless, it can't remain unless it abides in the vine. There'll be no fruit unless it abides in the vine, neither will you unless you abide in me. Ready?
I'm going to talk a little bit about stumbling blocks, crossroads, and offenses. And I'm going to start by 1 Peter 2, verses 7 and 8. He says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same has become the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word. And I reference Matthew 13:21 there, those who stumble at the word. Being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed. And then he goes on and he says, you know, you're the chosen generation and a peculiar people, which are called to himself. But the thing that I want to concentrate on is, this is that stumbling blocks, crossroads, and offenses. And, you know, the way this worked out in my life, in 1991, excuse me, in 1991, when I came back from Germany for the hunting camp, some of you guys were there, and me and one of the guys that was living with me in Germany at the time, we came back, and he had some pretty hard things to say to me in front of everybody, which I didn't even know who everybody was at the time. You know, it was all the guys in the fellowship, which I really didn't even know. And I think I spent like about 2 weeks at Gene's house in Grand Junction before I went to Germany, and that's really all the contact that I had with the fellowship outside this guy and his family that was living with us in Germany. And so he had some pretty hard things to say to me, and I mean, it really caught me off guard. And I was offended. I was not only offended, I was mad. And I was ready to walk out of the camp. We were, I don't know how many miles off of the road we were, but I was ready to hitchhike out of there and get on a plane and go back to to Germany and say, you know what, the heck with these guys, you know, in moderate terms. And I really, I mean, you know, nobody had ever spoken to me like that before without it ending up in a fist fight. That's about how strong it was. And I didn't really know the guys there, so, and I hadn't been around, you know, this kind of an environment before. I didn't know the guys there, and I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know if they were going to take his side. I didn't know if they were going to take my side. I didn't know if me and this guy went at it, what was going to happen if they were going to jump on me. I mean, I was just, that's where I was at. And so, I mean, in my mind, I made up my mind, you know, I'm out of here. And I was walking back to my tent, and Gene was over by his vehicle, and he was getting some stuff out of his vehicle. And he just looked at me and he said, take it. And I said, what? And he said, just take it. And I said, nobody's ever talked to me like that before. And he said, just take it, Joe. And I took that as the word of the Lord. Because the Lord told me, you know, in my spirit, I felt that the Lord was telling me to go and join myself to Gene in covenant, and this is the first time that I'd been in a covenant relationship in over 12 years. And so, you know, but I wanted to be right in my heart with the Lord again, and when he said take it, I took that as the word of the Lord. And so I swallowed my pride, and I said, okay. And it was when he told me to just lay it down. I mean, I had to lay down a whole bunch of things that weekend. I was hunting illegally. I didn't have any tags. And I mean, I was the Jonah in the boat. You know, nobody was getting any, you know, nobody was finding any deer or elk or anything. And so then, you know, so then we started talking about it. And he said, well, something's wrong here. And my lot came up, and you know, I'm sneaking around in the bushes with a rifle, and if, you know, if a fish and game comes, I'm going to throw my rifle in the bushes, you know. And you know, not really walking in the light. And so it came my lot to put my, you know, put my guns down. And then afterwards, you know, Tim got two elk and somebody else got some deer, and you know, it was pretty successful. So, you know, I mean, I was able to see myself in the thing though. And the Lord spoke to me that weekend. It was one of the milestones in my life. because I had, you know, I'd said some hard things in my heart, and my life followed the pattern of the things that I'd said in my heart. And it was after Gene said, take it, and I took that as the word of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to me. Isn't that an interesting, you know, coincidence? Or is it? And so, you know, so I said, you know, I wanted to talk to you about stumbling blocks, crossroads, and offenses. And he says, and so, you know, Matthew 13 says, when the word of the kingdom comes, if we don't receive it, if we don't humble ourselves, if we don't really receive it into our heart, it becomes the thing that causes us to stumble. And I don't know if you remember or not, but a few weeks ago I was talking about building the high places. Well, I've likened this thing about building the high places, which, you know, 2 Kings 17:11, you can read that if you want, but 2 Kings 17:11, they rebuilt the high places, they rebuilt the altars, they rebuilt the groves, and you know, started worshiping idols, and you know, and then in 1 Kings, you know, Solomon, his heart went after the women and all this stuff. But I say that the Lord brings us to crossroads. And crossroads have to do with, you know, how we're going to respond to something that's familiar to us, you know, what we're going to do with it, whether or not it becomes an offense, and whether or not it becomes a stumbling block, or whether or not if we yield to it, then, you know, it says in Hebrews 12 that it yields after the chastening, and we yield to it, it produces a peaceful fruit of righteousness. And so the thing that came to me was is that stumbling blocks can be a place where we build high places. Because really, you know, the high places that these kings built back in the Old Testament, it was sin. And it was sin that they decided that they were going to live with, and they were going to be content to live with, and it was going to become a part of their character, and they weren't going to lose their life in these things. They weren't going to yield to correction. They weren't going to yield to chastening. They weren't going to obey the laws and the commandments. They weren't going to listen to the prophets. And so these high places became a part of their life that they lived with the rest of their life. And I say that these high places are stumbling blocks, and they're crossroads. And there comes a place in our life where we make a choice. We make a choice, we make a decision about an area of our life, about an area of our character, when God presents us before it, you know, it before us, and we can either do the right thing with it, or we can learn to live with it and make it a part of our character, and, you know, we're not doing anything any different than anybody else. And I read a couple of scriptures, and James 3:14-15. Let's go there. James 3:14-15. He says, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. And then he says, this wisdom descends from not above, but is earthly and sensual and devilish, and where envy and strife is, and there is confusion in every evil work. And the thing that I really want you to look at is lie not against the truth. And then look at Colossians 3, verses 8 and 9, because they all tie together. He says, in Colossians 3, verses 8 and 9, he says, "But now ye also put off these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man and his deeds." And so it's like, you know, so the connection that I made here is that carnality, when we're faced with carnality in our lives, you know, in Galatians 5:20 talks about, you know, the sins of the flesh, which is carnality. When we're faced with carnality, we have a choice. We have a choice what we're going to do with it. And when we're confronted with it, you know, either by the conviction of our own conscience, which I say, you know, if we're not really walking with Jesus on a day-to-day basis, you're not even going to be aware of it. You're not going to be aware of when you're carnal, because it's just normal life. But the more that you walk with Jesus and the closer that you walk with Jesus, the more you're going to become sensitive to that carnality. And by the way, that's why he gave us each other. Another scripture says we're members of each other, and so don't lie to one another because we're members of each other. And so when we're confronted with the truth about who we are, we have a choice. And that choice is going to determine what we're going to live with, whether or not we're going to build high places or not, and whether or not that's going to be the thing that they write in the chronicles of our life. You know, what are they going to say about us? No, we're not kings. I mean, you know, they're not going to write about us like kings. But what's going to be said about us? What's going to be said about us? Well, he was a good man, you know, but he built the altars and things like that. But other than that, he was okay. So, but what does that say about us? It says that the light has come into our world and we refuse the light because we refuse the instruction that the Lord would bring us. Therefore, we've turned our back on the providence that he wants to open up to us, that we don't even have any clue of what that is. And we have chosen to make this a part of our character. I mean, it's really important that we see this. Because every time we find ourselves in a carnal position, and we're not humble to the truth, and we lie to each other, and we defend that carnality in us, we're building the high place. I mean, I don't know if I was clear about that when we talked about it before, because I kind of went over it pretty fast. But Psalm 119:58, I've been spent a little bit of time in Psalm 119 lately. But Psalm 119:58, he says, "I entreated thy favor with my whole heart." And next to this I got purpose of heart. "Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways." He says, "I thought on my ways, and I turned my feet to thy testimonies." And you know, when I was confronted with this thing up there at that hunting camp, I hadn't been walking with the Lord in a long time. In 1990, I went to a meeting that Gene had, and he prayed for me that the Lord would deliver me from having a hard heart. Because, I mean, I had a hard heart. And after that happened, I started on a path of recovery. I didn't know whether or not the Lord would give back to me what I lost, because I just figured, you know, I was like the prodigal son and I squandered it. And so I didn't know, and I really didn't even know how much of the Lord or what of the Lord was in me. You know, I mean, I didn't really know a whole lot in Fort Lauderdale. But I knew that I'd lost something. And I just figured it was gone. I didn't see any way of getting it back. But whether or not I got something back, whether or not I got spiritual again, that wasn't my goal. My goal was that I wanted to walk right with Jesus again, because I'd had my fill of the world. That was my goal. And he says, I made haste and I delayed not to keep thy commandments. And you know, that's how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to respond to the word when it's spoken to us, and not defend ourselves, and not, you know, just, you know, give people a hard time when they're trying to talk to us about something that we know is true inside of us in the first place. And I think that we make ourselves sick because we don't respond to the truth. We don't admit where we're really at. We don't think on our ways. Yeah. It is bearing false witness and bearing true witness. Another scripture that, I mean, Gene talked about it, but it was a scripture that I had written down, was Proverbs 1:23. He starts by asking a question in verse 22. He says, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And that's what we got to realize, you know, when we think on our ways, do I love being simple? Do I love being a fool? And will scorners delight in scorning? And will fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof, and behold, I will pour out my spirit onto you, and I will make my words, I will make known my words to you. And he says, you know, and he goes down and talks about the people who don't respond, and then he says, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. I got reference to that Psalm 119:58. They didn't think on their ways. And he says, for the turning away of the simple will slay them, the prosperities of fools will destroy them, but whoso, you know, and that's an open door. Whoso means anybody. Whoso hearkens unto me will dwell safely, and will be quiet from the fear of evil. And by having the fear of the Lord in our life, when he speaks to us, when he shines his light in an area of our life where we see that we're at a crossroad, and I mean, you can go right down the list. You can go down the list in Galatians 5. And you can identify yourself. And when we see what's the area of my life that's going to cause a stumbling stone, what's the area of my life where I refuse to change, What's the area of my life that I don't want to give up? What's the area of my life that I love? And, you know, if we love Jesus, we're willing to bring that area of our life to the cross. That's the bottom line. And if we don't love Jesus, then, you know, we got the testimony that they had in Chronicles. Well, he did the things the way his fathers did it, and he built his altars, and he was content to live with that, and he died, and, you know, that's the end of the story. But, you know, if we want to produce fruit in our lives, we're willing to look at ourselves. And, you know, it's not a big deal to produce fruit. Producing fruit is a simple thing. It just has to do with being humble and being honest. Being humble and being honest with the Lord and with each other. And you'll produce fruit. And admitting the fact that we can't be our own righteousness and we need Jesus. And that's pretty much it.
You did mention one thing we talked about before this afternoon, and that is when you're not doing the stumbling block that you come upon in your life, you can't see the future.
Right.
You start building.
Well, the providence of God won't open up to you.
As Joe was talking, the Spirit said to me, quoted to me, scripture, and it just went right across what Joe was saying. But it comes out of 1 John, and he said, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. This is 1 John 2:18 and 19. For they went out from us, but they were not of us. The former position is like the water position. The other position is like the whoer position. They went out from us, but they were never of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now, what I want to say about verse 18, it was interesting because that's exactly what he just quoted the verse to me. Little children, it is the last times. And we're living in the last days. It doesn't seem to me, I get asked quite frequently, what? Yeah, his statement was, how did you put that? Yeah, the areas that were still, it's all about what we believe. The areas where we're just centered in what we believe. Is very similar to the position of being a frommer. It came out from us. And it's like, we try it for a while, we don't like it. But There's a scripture that says, let he who is righteous be righteous still, and let he who is unrighteous be unrighteous still. If he's unclean, let him be unclean still. If he's clean, let him be clean still. And there's a depiction in the Word that as the end times come, people are going to be set in their place. People who think I'll change later, or after this I'll try, you know, or when I get older, or whatever, there is no guarantee. And what I find is, I was saying that I get asked quite frequently, have you heard this group? Do you know this or do you know that? I was just asked by somebody yesterday, so-and-so hangs out with this guy. Well, you know who he is. I didn't have a clue who he was because I don't listen. I'm not tied in to all the worldly music and the DJs and the very famous DJs and all of that. I'm just not tied into that because that is a counterculture to the Lord. I mean, all of the world is winding up to where, here's what I'm trying to say. It's kind of like having a CB. The more channels you have on your CB, the more channels you listen to. As you start restricting yourself to one or two channels, that's all you hear. And the more worldliness you listen to, the more it feeds you and adds to your whole worldly experience. We've got to start taking a look at what we're feeding ourselves. What we're allowing people to feed us, because I'm going to tell you, we are living in the last days, and our appetites and passions and emotions that get taken down the road to every kind of worldly situation that goes on, it's going to destroy our relationship with the Lord. And we do need to see it as another lover. We do need to see it as not being chaste, not wearing the veil, not anticipating his return. Blessed is everyone whose hope is in his return. Everyone that has this hope in him purifieth himself. That's what the Word says. We purify ourselves by really expecting and looking for the Lord to come daily into our life. And all these other things that pull us away, the more that we allow it to pull us away, the more we will be pulled away.
Hey God, this is perfect. I think I'm just kind of holding my tongue to say it, but I got you.